Blog Talk Radio.
And now, welcome to the Real Estate Investing Hour with Pete Asmus. Broadcasting from L.A. to around the world, here's your host, Pete Asmus. All right. Hey, welcome everybody to today's show. I'm telling you, today I'm really excited about what we have going on. We have Brent Wheeler, who I'm going to be bringing on in just a second. We're going to be talking to him a little bit today, really about what he does. Brent is a fantastic, He is a fantastic asset manager, basically controls over $30 million up in the Napa Valley, well, Northern California area. And so I wanted to bring him on because I wanted to kind of talk to him about what he's doing out there and how he really kind of developed that. Because a lot of you guys want to come in. We want to get involved in real estate investing, right? But what's really the best way to do that? There's a lot of different things that you can do. A real estate investor doesn't just mean that you're going out there grabbing a hammer and building a house and then selling it for a profit. You don't have to be doing the construction part of it. You don't have to find the properties. You can just lend money. There are so many different ways for you to be involved in real estate investing. And so one of the goals of the Real Estate Investing Hour or the Real Estate Investor Hour is to kind of show you different things, different ways that you can get involved in real estate and kind of different things that other people have done to be successful. So one of the things that I want to do is I want to bring on Brent and I want to talk to him a little bit about who he is, where he came from, and kind of why he got involved in real estate in the first part. So Brent, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Pete.
All right. Hey, how are you doing? Brent is the pragmatist, the real estate pragmatist of Napa Valley. And I love this because I learned what pragmatist meant the other day, which I thought was pretty cool. I didn't really, it's a big word, but you just threw it out there like it was nothing. And define, what does pragmatist really mean?
Well, to be pragmatic means basically you're a problem solver. You find solutions. You don't just look at the surface. You look for another way to do things, basically.
And how does that kind of relate to you in real estate investing?
Well, when you're investing in real estate, there are always unique situations that come up. I actually have different real estate businesses. One business deals specifically with buying and selling property. Another business that I have deals with the management of estates and real estate. So go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Well, I was going to say, this isn't just your first trip around the block either, right? I mean, yesterday you didn't have somebody walk up and say, hey, I have a property or several properties worth over $30 million. I love the way you look. I'd like you to manage them. Is that kind of how it happened?
Well, yeah, correct. It doesn't just happen overnight. It takes a lot of effort.
It takes effort. And for you, really, this is you're not just first generation real estate, right? How many generations do you go back that have done real estate in your family?
Really, just two. My parents started a real estate legacy, if you want to say that. And it was kind of a natural progression for me, you know, growing up with my parents doing real estate.
Well, and your grandpa was also kind of was an innovator too, right? I mean, he had a big impact on your life as well.
Yeah, my grandfather's a real character. I wish he was still around for everyone to meet because he was a really, really interesting guy.
And so tell me a little bit about your involvement in real estate and kind of how you got involved in real estate. Why, you know, I know that your dad was doing it. I love the story about your grandpa and you when you were 11 or 12 years old. But tell me kind of, it seems like you kind of come from an entrepreneur background, like just a problem solver background, right? Would that be correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So are you talking about the management side of the business or the other real estate side of the business?
The real estate side, because really that's what got you into the management side, right? I mean, if you didn't know what you were doing in the real estate side, would you have ever got the management part?
Correct. Yeah. So what got me in? Well, you know, being that my family has always, since I was very young, been involved in and real estate deal in one way or another, I always knew that would be the direction I'd go. Even with other ventures I did, I always knew that I could go, you know, fall back onto doing real estate. So I didn't have anything ever handed to me by my parents. I had to work for everything in that regard. So.
And what were some of the things, like, from when you were young, you were doing different types of real estates. What were you learning back then that you can now, or that you've found that now that you've applied it and it's been some of the best knowledge or advice that you've had?
Well, I guess the best way to answer that question, Pete, is to tell you about the first house that I purchased. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so at the time I was living in Minnesota, and I had moved there and didn't have a job per se, because I've never really had a job. I've always made jobs. But nonetheless, I wanted to buy a house there. And I didn't have enough money for that, so I had a friend who, a long-term friend, that wanted to invest in real estate. And I had never taken any classes, never talked to any gurus or anything at that point, but I knew I could do it. I knew it just had to be done. So she put up $10,000, and I found a partner. We found a house that was going to auction. It was actually a curbside auction right at the house. And
oh, wow.
I wound up buying that house for cash for $20,000, and my partner brought in $10,000, and my private money lender, as it were, my friend, put up $10,000. So I got into that house for $1,000.
And no money out of your pocket, right?
Not a penny out of my pocket.
Okay.
And I wound up living there for a year, actually more than that, about a year and a half.
To avoid capital gains?
Well, it just worked out that way. I needed a house to live anyways.
No, I love this. I love
yeah.
this. So not only are you rent-free, you're rehabbing the property while you're living in it, correct? And you're living in it for a year and a half to avoid bigger capital gains taxes. And you did this all with no money out of your pocket. Like, this is such a great story. So zero money out of your pocket. You have no idea what you're doing. Now, this is not what we, again, the Real Estate Investor Hour is not saying, hey, go and raise money and have no idea what you're doing. That's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that Brent did whatever it took to make something happen. And that I love, right? So you got other people to invest in an idea that you had. You got a property. You lived rent-free and rehabbed that property while you were living there, correct?
Absolutely. And,
okay.
And yeah, you're right. You're right, Pete. We don't – yeah, you. From that point on, I started educating myself, because although it worked and it was fantastic, I then started to approach it from a better angle and really learning the –
What are some of those things that you learned on that first house?
Well –
The good and the bad. I mean, there was obviously some great things that happened, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it was actually there. I can't say there was any bad on it. We made double what we had into the house, so we doubled our money when we sold it, and it was a great experience.
Now that's awesome from an ROI standpoint, right? Because you doubled your money. I mean, that's 100% return. However, on an actual dollar amount, you were there for a year and a half for $20,000 then, right?
Well, yeah, and my ROI was infinite. Because I had no money into it.
And not only that, it's even better than infinite, because not only did you not have any money into it, but you lived rent-free for a year and a half.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Right? That's awesome. I mean, See, that to me, you need an award for, because that's the most creative deal structure I've heard of for a first-time deal. That's just insane. But what I love about it, and seriously, one of the best parts about this whole story was the fact that you figured out how to make it happen. So many people out there right now are saying, you know what, I don't have enough money. I don't have the $35,000 to go to the gurus. And I'm not saying right, wrong, or indifferent. You and I, we've talked about this. Both of us have paid exorbitant amounts of money to go and talk to gurus. Now, I've also lost a lot more money than I paid for training in a deal because I wasn't paying attention. So I think that $35,000, if you understand what you're doing, it's a great idea. It's a great path because you're going to get around other people that have spent that kind of money. And as long as you start to, and really this is what we're going to be talking about today, build relationships with those people. If you get, you know, for instance, Brent, there's a plenty of events that happen around you, right? And when they're free, like say a city event, or a community, or all those things that happen around in your community, right? That they'll have events for the city or the county or whatever. And I can't think of what they're called right now, so it's driving me crazy. But like a chamber meeting, right? Those are usually free to go to, or it's $10. The level of people that you'll meet at that is different than the level of people that you meet in an event that costs $35,000 to get into. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Definitely, right? Even though these people are movers and shakers to some degree, only maybe 3% of them are in that free event. When you go to an event where everybody spent I don't want to say exorbitant because that's really not what I mean, because it's all relative. I mean, really, I lost over six figures in a deal. And so if I could have paid $35,000 to avoid that, oh my gosh, that would have been a better ROI for me. I mean, I would have much preferred to do that. So that's why I'm saying, but knowing what you're getting at the same time, right? And so here's what I'd like to talk about. You've been to some different trainings, right? What do you feel about trainings and how have they helped your career or helped your path to success?
Well, trainings are oftentimes when you start in, you're leery, pretty good money to learn something, and you have a high expectation. So there is an element of not being satisfied for the money that you have paid in many cases. But that put aside, the reality is it keeps you in the game. And if you've spent $20,000-$30,000 on some training that's out there, which is not hard to do, and let's say you're not impressed, you're still not going to want to lose that $30,000. You're going to keep pushing forward until you've done a deal to recoup that money.
Bam.
At least in my opinion.
I agree with you 100%. I think that's probably the biggest motivator in the whole thing. Because a lot of, you know, they even say it. I used to speak for some of these gurus, and you know, we would say from the front of the room, look, you know, the information is out there. It's the way that it's put together that you don't have. And the other part of it is it's the connections. It's all about going and building these connections. There's so many people at these events that if you go there with the wrong mindset, if you go there with what is somebody going to do for me instead of what can I get out of this, what can I give, and you go there with the intent of, man, I'm going to meet as many people, I'm going to make as many connections, and I'm going to get as many opportunities out of this as possible, instead of looking at it from a standpoint of what is everybody going to do for me. And I think that's really, they put up money, and it's all of a sudden, well, what are you going to do for me now, not realizing that the money just gets you into the game. Right? I mean, it's still, you still have to take action.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you know, I can't, you nailed it on the head there, Pete. It is definitely all about relationships. And even with that first deal I just talked about, the only reason I was able to do that was because of the people that I knew. They knew me and they trusted me because I was trustworthy. And it wasn't just somebody I met off the street and convinced them to give me 10 grand. This was somebody I had known since I was a very young person. And they believed in me.
No, keep going. They believed in you.
Yeah, they. So it's that relationship. And as you go on through investing in real estate, you're going to hear that over and over and over again. And maybe at first, when somebody's first starting out, they don't have the kind of relationships that it takes. But as you move forward, as long as you are being trustworthy and proving that you can be trustworthy and that you do what you say, those relationships will develop. And if you do it from the standpoint of helping others, like you mentioned, then those relationships will develop.
And that's something I'd like to talk about. I'd like to talk about now, you know, you are an asset manager for over $30 million in properties. I'd like to talk about how you got into that. What exactly, I mean, that's not a claim that a lot of people can make, right? So what put you in that position, and how did you gain these contacts? What did you do?
Well, first of all, it is a very unique niche because it's not something that can be done everywhere. It really can't. You have to have the type of demographics that it would lend itself to. So, at the time and currently when I started this, I'm living in the Napa Valley, and there's a lot of high net worth individuals here that have second, third, fourth homes here, or even their primary residence. But the fact is that these are very busy, high net worth people that they realize, they understand the value of them not having to think about their asset, their real estate, and their properties. So they already understand the value of that.
And how did you first approach one of these guys? Did you just walk up to him on the street, or, I mean, do you just work with anybody, or were you just looking for somebody to manage their property, or how did that work? I mean, I know that you're successful, so how do you choose who you want to work with, really?
Okay. Well, I guess, Pete, I could give you the very long version or the very short version, and I'm gonna try to hit it somewhere in between. But
there we go. Yes, please.
So, I have a rule. I have a rule that I only work with nice people. So,
Hold on. What? You have a rule that you only work with nice people. What does that mean?
Well, there's so many great people out there. It's not worth the anxiety and the headache to just be desperate and work for whoever comes along. So the first thing is I've got to find out about the individual. So I'm trying to find out as much about them before I've ever even met them. So the way that played out with the first client that I got was they were building a house here, and I wanted to find out about them. So I just went up to the job site. And, Pete, it goes all the way back to relationships. It turns out when I went up to the job site, because of being in real estate and because of being in the business, I wound up knowing the vast majority of the subcontractors and the laborers and the workers that were working on this house.
What?
So
you knew everybody.
So the first thing I did was I asked all the people there, how was it working for this client? You know, were they moody? Were they complimentary? Were they happy with what you're doing? You know, any issues with payment? You know, all kinds of questions like that to kind of pre-qualify them first. So after doing that, and finding out that these sound like great, and everybody spoke so highly of them. I mean, they're like, they couldn't say good enough about this client. So automatically I knew this was somebody I would like to work with.
All right, hold on. Before you go any farther, I want you to finish this story as soon as we are done with our break. Will you do that for me?
Yes.
Okay, we got a couple of messages real quick from some of our friends. So when we come back, though, we're going to finish our story with how Brent Wheeler, the pragmatist of Napa Valley, how he got into managing and really being an asset manager for over $30 million. We're talking about his very first story, so hang tight.
The Real Estate Investing Hour will be right back after these messages.
What's the difference? Really, as a residential real estate investor, you should ask, what's the difference in real estate insurance? As it turns out, there's a big difference. Real estate investors require a unique insurance product, and National Real Estate Insurance Group is the nation's leader in real estate risk management solutions. We offer full-service residential and commercial insurance solutions to investors, including bulk REO companies, large-scale landlords, and rehabbers. National Real Estate Insurance Group is the only place where you can combine all your investment properties under one insurance policy, with major benefits such as monthly billing, same-day proof of insurance, no vacancy clauses, and coverage for every phase of your property, from vacant to rented or under renovation. See how National Real Estate Insurance Group can make a difference for you. Go to NREinsurance.com. That's NREinsurance.com. Or call 800-900-5324. 800-900-5324.
Are you a real estate investor looking for private funding so you can do more deals? More Financial is a hard money lender based in California. At More Financial, they focus on quick closings, take pride in building real relationships so you can increase your resources and opportunities. More Financial structures each deal specifically for each client, meaning whatever your need, More has it. For more information, visit morefinancial.com. That's morefinancial.com. Or call them at 877-MOR-1300. That's 877-MOR-1300. More Financial, more than just your lender. More Financial is a licensed broker with the California Bureau of Real Estate. BRE license 08160343.
And now, welcome back to the Real Estate Investing Hour with Pete Asmus. All right. Hey, guys, our guest today, co-host, whatever you want to call it, is Brent Wheeler, the pragmatist of Napa Valley. He is all about real estate investing. He's also an asset manager of over $30 million. And funny enough, is also coming out on the cover. I actually wanted to do a spread on him on Investor Quarterly. So next week, he's going to actually be in that and did a whole article, basically, on kind of what we're talking about right now, actually, when we're getting into the whole relationship building. So, Brent, we were right in the middle of your story when I cut you off and you said, man, we basically were to the point where your neighbor, right? It was what are those things called? You guys live on like 5 acres or something in wine country. So I'm not sure, do you call that a plot of land? Do you call that a castle? Do you call that your homestead? What is that? I'm not sure, because down here in Southern California, they're nowhere near that big.
Yeah, no, they're various sizes. They're all different, but just estate properties usually, yeah.
So two estate properties over. You got on your horse and wagon, and you took a two-day trip, 15 miles over to the left, and you talked to all of the workers working on his estate that was building, and basically you asked them, and all of them said that they really liked who this client was and the way that he treated him. And you decided that, hey, this is somebody that you could do something with, correct?
Correct, yeah.
All right, so take it away. Where what happened now?
So what I did at that point was I asked the people that I knew, people that knew me, that were workers there, and I said, you know, if the opportunity comes up when you're talking with the owner, could you just mention my name? You don't have to say anything. You don't have to make a big deal about it. But if the opportunity arises and it's comfortable, just say, that you know me. So in a very short time, the individual, majority of the people working on their property, everyone, I knew the architect, I knew the designer, the contractors,
so everybody's
decorator.
Saying your name.
Yeah, just saying my name. Oh, yeah, they knew me.
Wow. How do you know? Okay, this is awesome. I'm getting where you're going with this. So this guy's walking around, and for the next few days, something comes up, and somehow your name comes into the conversation, and he just hears everybody mentioning your name. And now he's looking for an asset manager or something. How does that happen? How did that happen?
Yeah, well, it was pretty natural since I was a neighbor, and so it made it easy for people to bring up my name, because they could easily just say, oh, well, do you know your neighbor, so and so? We know them, you know, I know them. So
I get it.
It was it was a very, very comfortable segue for them.
Right.
And at that point, they actually reached out to me.
Which seems natural, too, because you're a neighbor. People have been talking about you. You do real estate. Your family's been in real estate. And now here's somebody that's a neighbor of theirs now they're reaching out to you looking for something, correct?
Yeah, and it sounds like it's very coincidental. And I guess a better way, the way I would describe it, is it's an engineered coincidence.
I love it. You created your own luck. If luck is just about preparation meeting opportunity, you basically just created the opportunity by being prepared and then setting up the situation.
Yes, that is exactly right.
That's awesome. So tell me how that went. How did that go? So he calls you up, or she, whichever, the client calls you up.
Yeah. So we set up a meet and greet, and at that point, when you do a meet and greet, they ask, what do you do? Well, this was my first client, so I couldn't say that I had a history of doing this.
Right.
At that point, I had to sell myself that this is what I am doing and this is what I can do. I can do this. This is what I can do for you. So being convincing and speaking with knowledge takes it from that point on.
Being confident.
Yes, confident.
More than convincing, right? I mean, because it's really about confidence, talking about. And I think really what you're kind of saying is at this point, and I may just be putting words in your mouth, but I'm just trying to go with this, is that you told them, hey, I do real estate. My family's been in real estate, and I can also manage something. If you're not going to be here all the time, I could look out for your property for you as well. That's something I could do. What I do right now is this. I flip million-dollar properties. Right? So when you really kind of fit in what you could do for them and you're seeing as an opportunity, it kind of fits in with all of the other things that you already have done, giving you validation and really credibility, correct?
Yeah, definitely. It's just a natural progression. And if you're just always open for opportunity, then opportunity will present itself.
So let's talk about this then real quick, because that's a great story. So how would a listener apply that, or how would somebody leverage off of that? So if I'm looking to get into a new, I don't know, I guess we could take this a bunch of different ways, but what is a takeaway for any investor or any entrepreneur from this story?
Well, the takeaway I feel is the most important is that relationships are valuable. And you have to be the kind of person that warrants people talking good about you. You have to be good to everybody. You know, all people that were on this job, they're roofers. They're people that are cleaning people. And you have to know them, be kind to them, and treat them with respect and dignity. And that's what builds those relationships. And that will come back to you in spades.
And you're saying building relationships with everybody, not just building relationships with people that can do something for you, but building relationships with people that you can do something for.
That's exactly what I'm saying, yes.
And how has that impacted your life since then with some of the things that you've done?
Well, I need a little more specifics than that, Pete. what direction
meaning,
are you going with that?
Meaning, no, well, what I mean is that time, what are some other things that you've done along those same lines that have helped you catapult your career forward?
Well, I mentioned that after the first house that I purchased, I did do some training, and that training does have a lot of value. And in that training, like you mentioned, you also do meet other people, and continuing to to develop all of those relationships and continue doing training. All of that plays into real estate investing. I believe it's a necessary part.
It's kind of like with dentists and doctors, right? Because they constantly go to follow-up training to be better at their craft. Why would real estate investing or any profession for that matter be any different? If you want to be the very best, you got to consistently train at what you're doing to make you the best. I mean, otherwise you get lackadaisical and you start to become or get into a groove, right? So let's talk about this real quick. Let's talk about what you do as far as real estate investing goes up in Northern California. What are some of the deals and what does the landscape look like up in Northern California for real estate right now?
Well, I would say it's been kind of a land grab here for the last several years. So the competition, if you want to call it competition, I use that word liberally. I don't view them as competitors, but the reality of it is we're all trying to get the same properties. So there's few properties on the market here in comparison to other urban areas. I mean, you got to imagine this is a resort retirement area that the rich and famous come and play, and so there's not a lot of foreclosures here.
No, and you have a property right now that you just locked down, right?
I have several of them. They're some of them are here in the immediate area, and some are outside of the area, but still in Northern California. Yeah.
But I mean, you have a property right now that you're looking for partners on or looking for input on, right? I mean, it's an amazing property up in Northern California.
I'm looking for someone to purchase it. It's property I've locked up. I've tied it up, and I'm essentially wholesaling this property.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. Yeah. It's a large development. It's approximately 700 acres. It has 105 acres planted in vineyard. So it's rolling hills already with paved roads, utilities in place, underground. It's already completely fenced and gated with electronic entrance gates. So it's ready to roll. Phase one is ready to build out.
Oh, wow. So it's like literally lot ready, build ready for the houses to go up right now.
Yeah, and they're all estate lots from 7 to 17 acres each. And the way it's set up is really cool because of the vineyards. So imagine 105 acres of vineyard, but you're not right next to your neighbor because of the lot size. And you have the beautiful vineyard rolling hills as your landscape, but there's revenue generated from the vineyard that pays for and augments the cost of living in a development like that. So the HOAs are extremely low, and it's just you have landscape that you don't have to pay to maintain. It actually generates revenue.
And so I was going to just ask that. So do the owners of the properties, do they get a percentage of the vineyard? Is that how that works?
Well, it's all part of the development, and so that goes to keep the cost of maintaining the roads and so forth.
But who makes the wine? Like, does anybody make the – is it a winemaker, or do they just grow the grapes and they sell the grapes to a winemaker?
Yeah, correct.
I don't know anything about vineyards.
The vineyards are basically a lease situation. So it's the rights to the vineyard are leased out, and a vineyard management company takes care of all the vineyards.
They like avocados.
Like any produce.
Like any produce, Pete. That's how it works. Now I understand it, though, because we have avocados down here in Temecula, down in Duluth, 5 acres of avocados, and they'll come in and somebody else will come and grab and do all the work, and then you just get paid a percentage of whatever they make. And so I totally get that. So now that makes a lot more sense. Well, I guess I understand it, and hopefully other people understand it. If you don't, you know, in fact, what if somebody was interested in that property or interested in getting involved in that? How would they get a hold of you for that?
Well, they can contact me directly.
Okay.
And they can call me right up. They can email me, whatever they'd like to do.
Well, could you give us that information so that we have it? In fact, we will even put it in the show description. But just in case, if anybody's listening right now live and was like, man, I gotta know this stuff. What is your phone number and what is your email?
Okay, so the phone number you'd use is 888-572-5550. Option
one more time.
888-572-5550. Option one.
Option one. Okay. And then if they wanted to email you?
They can email me at brent@lqigproperties.com.
Awesome. And we will, again, guys, we will have that on our website. So if you go and you search for this episode, which will obviously be on the front of the website for the next week until we do next week's show. But if you search for it and you're like, man, I wanted to remember what that was, I'm definitely calling this show the Real Estate Pragmatist on the Real Estate Investor Hour with Pete Asmus, because that to me is what Brent is. And in fact, we're going to cut to another break real quick. But when we come back, I want to talk about how Brent and I really got to know each other this last weekend. Because he had no idea he was going to be meeting me, and all of a sudden, Friday morning, it was just, hi, how you doing? I'm Pete. And a lot of coolness ensued from that. So I want to talk a little bit about what happened this last weekend with Brent when we come back. So make sure you just check out these few messages, and then we'll see you in a second.
The Real Estate Investing Hour will be right back.
And that wasn't it, but this one is.
The Real Estate Investing Hour will be right back after these messages.
Are you a real estate investor looking for private funding so you can do more deals? More Financial is a hard money lender based in California. At More Financial, they focus on quick closings, take pride in building real relationships so you can increase your resources and opportunities. More Financial structures each deal specifically for each client, meaning whatever your need, More has it. For more information, visit morefinancial.com. That's morfinancial.com. Or call them at 877-MOR-1300. That's 877-MOR-1300. More Financial, more than just your lender. More Financial is a licensed broker with the California Bureau of Real Estate. BRE license 08160343.
What's the difference? Really, as a residential real estate investor, you should ask, what's the difference in real estate insurance? As it turns out, there's a big difference. Real estate investors require a unique insurance product, and National Real Estate Insurance Group is the nation's leader in real estate risk management solutions. We offer full-service residential and commercial insurance solutions to investors, including bulk REO companies, large-scale landlords, and rehabbers. National Real Estate Insurance Group is the only place where you can combine all your investment properties under one insurance policy, with major benefits such as monthly billing, same-day proof of insurance, no vacancy clauses, and coverage for every phase of your property, from vacant to rented or under renovation. See how National Real Estate Insurance Group can make a difference for you. Go to NREinsurance.com. That's NREinsurance.com. Or call 800-900-5324. 800-900-5324.
Are you searching everywhere trying to find a solution for investing? Overwhelmed at the options and possible directions? Maybe you're wondering which strategy or investment option is right for you. I'm Pete Asmus, and I'm the host of the Real Estate Investor Hour. I'm also the editor of Investor Quarterly. Check out Investor Quarterly at investorquarterly.com. We are the magazine that is here and driven to give you the answers that you're looking for. Go to investorquarterly.com right now. Get your current issue. Make sure you subscribe so you get all upcoming events, issues, and expos that we're going to be putting together. That's investorquarterly.com. InvestorQuarterly.com. And now, welcome back to the Real Estate Investing Hour with Pete Asmus.
All right. Hey, we are back. I'm excited. We're here with Brent Wheeler. And Brent is the pragmatist of Napa Valley. He is the real estate guy that can just get it done. And I had the pleasure of seeing him and his dad this weekend in Arizona when they came out on a workshop. And I wanted to talk to Brent a little bit about that experience this weekend and kind of get his input on what happened. Can you do a little bit of that, Brent?
Yeah, sure. So this weekend, I think we showed up on Friday. My dad calls me up and he says, "Hey, I'm booking some flights. We're going to go to Phoenix. There's a company out there. We need to go and check them out and check out some real estate in Phoenix." So I said, "Okay, do it." The next thing you know, we're on a flight to Phoenix, and we're meeting there at the Gentry Group real estate office. And so I was totally cold. I hadn't done any research on this. I had just got on the flight with my dad, and we went. He had looked into everything in advance, and I was going on his recommendation and his research. So we show up there at the office, and Pete comes in, and I got to say, Pete, you're awesome, man.
Thank you.
he was there, so full of life and energy and enthusiasm, and kind of got us going and started the presentation with us there.
Now another really cool thing happened as well while we were there, right? You saw a couple different properties that we're going to be going to auction. We actually got to go out. Well, you talk about it. I mean, tell everybody what the experience was like.
Yeah. So, the experience was great. The folks there at Gentry brought in a lot of their vendors, their contractors, their title people, realtors that they work with, everybody in the office basically, and a lot of peripheral people, inspectors, came in, gave us a rundown of their portion of what they do and their piece of the team that they fulfill and how they do it. All great people, fantastic people, and we went through the process that Gentry uses to acquire houses and offering whatever level of management that we would feel comfortable with, anything from full turnkey to just providing the auction service. So after that, we wound up going and looking at some properties.
What did you think about the properties?
Well, properties are a lot nicer to work with than the ones that we typically deal with. They're typically 10 to 15 years old, whereas a lot of times the properties I'm working with are properties that were built in maybe the 1940s to the 1970s. So you have much more to deal with in terms of systems and structure to deal with when you're doing a rehab. Whereas a house that's 10 years old, you just don't have nearly the level of issues that you'd need to deal with. So we're right away, we're seeing the benefit of this area and working with houses that are much newer and vintage. So
what about the knowledge of Mark, right? He came out there. What did you think about Mark when he was showing us through some of the properties? And Mark, so for those of you who don't know, Mark is one of our drivers who goes around and looks at the properties prior to them going to auction so that we can put a bid out on them. And we actually got to go to two properties with Mark on Saturday, one of which you got yesterday, right?
Yeah. And that's vital. You've got to know the area. You've got to know the neighborhoods. You've got to know even the streets. And in fact, Mark was saying, he said, it's interesting on this street, the houses directly across the street will fetch a different price than the houses on this side. And having that empirical knowledge is so valuable. And being able to tap into that without having to spend the time, energy, and effort personally to be there and to know that. So their knowledge is just top notch, and they've all been in that area for so long. They know those streets.
Right.
They've done so many houses there. They just know. So
Yeah.
And how did you feel about meeting Jacob and Spencer?
Oh, great guys. Fantastic guys. They're they're brilliant. They're brilliant guys. They know
but not as brilliant as me, right?
Well,
come on.
Well, you're awesome, Pete. You're just plain awesome.
Oh man, okay, so I'm awesome and they're brilliant. You know what though? I'll give that to them. They are brilliant. So I'm definitely with you on that though. They are brilliant.
So wrapping it up here, I guess. They showed us a couple of houses that they were going to be coming up on the auction block, and we looked at them. We wound up winning the bid on one of them, and so I've got a house in Arizona now.
Now let's talk about that, because the process of that was pretty cool too, right? They called you in advance of the going to auction, didn't they?
Yes.
And what did they ask you?
Well, in this situation, because I am putting full confidence and trust in their ability and their knowledge.
Right.
I basically gave them full rein. I said, you know, I'm trusting you. You do what's best. And
now,
I know that sounds kind of odd from an investment standpoint or an investor standpoint, but I really did put trust in them.
Right, but didn't you also say that you would go up to 180, right? Wasn't that the number on the house? Or
well,
is that the number that they had put? Because here's what happened. You guys got it for a dollar over. I mean, you got the opening bid was, what, 170? And they went to 170 and $1, and you won it. You got it at that house at that price, period, right?
Yeah, 171,
So we got it for opening bid plus a dollar, and I think that's, again, part of the really cool part about all of this is that you got to see all of that, where it was, you know, we could go up to here, but they didn't even need to, and it wasn't like they came back and said, hey, you got it at 180. They didn't do any of that. It was all about keeping it at that low price of that entry level, and we think part of the reason is because we were able to get into that property earlier and see what it would take, and how much work did we estimate on that? Like $12,000 or $13,000, right?
Yeah, max. I mean, it's in great shape. Essentially, paint and carpet.
Got a
pool.
Yeah, it's got a pool. It's got the balcony on the front, balcony on the back. I mean, it was such a nice property, and it had the big tile. Right, that was the one with the big tile. Everything. It seemed like it was good, except for, like you said, the paint and carpet all needed to be done.
Yeah. So, and we went over all the numbers in advance, and they gave us their comps and so forth, and we did. We set a limit, it turned out fantastic so far.
So exactly, and we will go through the rest. And aren't you anyway? So that's really cool. What else do you? Would you like to say to everybody here today? Because I know there's a lot of stuff you got going on today, and I don't want to keep you all this whole hour, but I've really appreciated you being on this long. Have you had fun?
Yeah, this is a first for me to be on the radio like this, Pete.
No, that's okay. I thought you did great, man. Did you have fun? That's the biggest part. Did you have fun?
Yes, definitely. We
okay.
Had fun.
Perfect. So this part of the interview is over, right? Now we're going to get down to the nitty gritty. So let's talk about you and your family, because here's the reality. There's a lot of people that do investing and that invest with us and stuff, but let's talk about who Brent really is. What do you like to do? What are your passions for doing? Like kids, what, tell us about all that stuff.
Yeah, I love to travel. I spend a lot of time, as much time as possible traveling and seeing the sights of the world. I've done some volunteer work, which I really enjoy doing. And, we like and enjoy the simple things of life. So spending time with our friends and family, eating good food. Of course, the Napa Valley is kind of known for that, but, good, healthy, food and enjoying that with our friends.
Where is the best place you've been around the world? You love to travel, so tell me your top place to travel to. If you could only go to one place again, where would it be?
Oh, my goodness. that's a tough question because every place has its, you know, awesomeness to it. But I really enjoyed Vietnam.
What?
Yep, Vietnam was a fun place. The people there are amazing, and it's all about the people.
I would never have expected this. Tell me more about Vietnam and why this was so great.
Like I said, it's about the people. I just found them just so interesting and so pragmatic. I talk to people that, they're on the sidewalk of a busy street and they're rebuilding a motorcycle's motor with a toothpick and a safety pin and a worn out screwdriver and they're rebuilding the whole motor. And I just find that so fascinating and kind, just kind people that are happy and just generous and kind. And I am very drawn to places where I have a great experience with the people.
I love that.
And there's
a lot
of places like that.
Sure. No. Let's talk about, too, you said volunteering. What are some of the volunteering efforts that you've done before? And what have you done before? And what do you want to do in the future?
Well, I've been to several different countries and helped with construction projects because of my background in construction and so forth.
Makes sense.
I've been to South Central Africa and Zambia and spent 2 months there building an educational facility.
What was that like?
Well, again, Central Africa or Africa in general is definitely on my top three list of places I would love to go back to. Just great people. It's hard to imagine the trauma and the tragedies that these people have endured, and yet they still have a smile on their face. And they still are happy. And I just find that so enduring.
Were you ever scared to be in a different country or in a different area? I mean, to some degree, it kind of freaks me out because I think, man, I'm in a different country now. If they don't speak English, and even if they do, the reality is the laws are different, and it just kind of freaks me out. And I'm, especially even going to a country that could have a lot more internal turmoil with it. You know what I mean? The safety factor. Did you ever think about any of that stuff?
Well, you always have to be cautious and aware. There was one time in Lusaka, that's the capital of Zambia, where a group of large men started surrounding me. But if you're conscious and aware and know how to get yourself out of those situations, but you have to be aware. You can't be oblivious to it.
Oh, so you had to get yourself out of the city. Did you just walk away, or what happened?
Well, they I guess they noticed or watched me. When you're traveling like that, you kind of hide your money in different places, and they eventually saw where I was hiding it. And basically, they were going to mug me. But using negotiating tactics that I've learned over the years to talk to them and in a kind and respectful way, but using their trying to find out their names and almost like you're instantly trying to be their friend, but then looking for your opportunity to exit very rapidly.
Myself
out of that, yeah.
You got my heart beating right now. Like, I'm just freaking out listening to this, like trying to imagine myself in that situation and what I would do. I mean, because so many times I just walk around oblivious. I just think, nobody's going to do anything. Like, this is just a great world. Everybody's happy, and I just, because I want to see the world in which I want to live. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that, because I think a lot of times we have to look at the world in the way that we want to, because if we focus on all the things that could go wrong, you know what I mean, that could happen, then we don't end up doing anything, right?
Yeah. And ultimately, you know what? I would have just given them everything. That's not the point. The point is being aware and knowing what their intention is before they reveal it. So.
Yeah. Wow, that is so weird. Okay, and awesome. I think it just my respect level for you just like went up a whole nother notch. Like you're James Bond style like awareness too. Like that's pretty awesome. All right, so last thing before I let you go, tell me about what you want to do in the future. What do you see Brent being a part of or Brent doing, and how could other people get involved with that?
Well, I'll always continue to grow the real estate investment side of our business. And, ultimately what I want to do is do more volunteer work and do it with my entire family. My kids are my oldest is 11, and I have no problem bringing my kids in places. But, you know, I've been around, and so I do have a level of confidence with that. But, bring my family and have them learn and see the experiences that I've had the blessing to see.
That is so cool, man. I'm looking forward to doing some major things with you. Anyways, Brent, thank you so much. You had fun today, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the most important thing. With that, again, one more time, can you give everybody your contact info? So just in case anybody listening now is like, man, I really need to talk to Brent. Tell me, what is the phone number they can call you at?
888-572-5550, option 1.
One more time.
888-572-5550, option 1.
Awesome. And your email for Brent Wheeler?
That's brent@lqigproperties.com.
All right, Brent at L. Okay, you say it again. Brent at. I thought I really was trying to do that, and I just realized I was going to mess it up.
That's a little bit of a tongue twister. I apologize for that. It's brent@lqigproperties.com.
There you go, Brent. Thank you so much. Have a great day, and as always, man, go make something happen. Okay.
Hey, thank you, Pete, and thanks for this opportunity. And I really appreciate it. And you're doing some great things. I appreciate that too.
Thank you, man. Well, you have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Well, there you go. That was our show. Hey, look, if you live in the area, don't forget, tonight we have our meeting that's going to be down in Buena Park, and all you have to do is just go to thegentrygroup.com. That's thegentrygroup.com. Go right onto our calendar, and all of the information is right there for you. Simple as that. Thegentrygroup.com, calendar, and all the information is right there. For today, tonight, 6:30 p.m. we'll be out there. So I think it's at El Torito is what I believe it is, El Torito in Buena Park, and it's at 6:30. And you can just look up Coast to Coast meeting or Pete's Mastermind. All of those things will work. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for being around today. I appreciate it. I will see you next week when we're going to have on another special guest. I promise you, you do not want to miss this. This show is about to go off and get even better. Guys, we'll see you guys next week. Have a great weekend and go make something happen. You've been listening to the Real Estate Investing Hour with Pete Asmus. Tune in every week, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Also, check out Investor Quarterly at investorquarterly.com. Thank you so much. Have a great day. And as always, go make something happen.